I'm John Batchelor with my colleague, Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army, retired CBS News, Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy, and most importantly, in the Keystone State, visiting Professor Dickinson College. I read from a summary of the news. Tim Kaine of Virginia, Todd Young of Indiana, Chris Murphy of Connecticut, Mike Lee of Utah, two Republicans, two Democrats, two conservatives, two extremely outspoken liberals, writing to the Biden administration about the, quote, U.S. strategy and its continued campaign of airstrikes against the Houthis, asking Congress must carefully deliberate before authorizing offensive military action. This looks like a debate that is predicate to a debate. The firing on the Houthis these last days has been a puzzle to me, Jeff, because they're firing on missile sites, not on the leadership, and the leadership decap is how we've handled Al-Qaeda and other rebel groups. It might be that the Houthis are sovereign. I can't tell. They certainly dominate the north part of the country and the capital. But are we at war, or is this what Truman called a police action? Does it need a definition, Jeff?
I think it does need a definition, John, as this goes on. And, you know, it brings me back eerily to something you and I remember when we were much younger, and that is a thing called the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution, where attacks on U.S. shipping, which we said naval vessels, in international waters resulted in responding airstrikes by the United States against the forces of North Vietnam and ushered in a dramatic expansion of the United States into the war in Vietnam. And several presidents, Johnson, Nixon, subsequently used that war power, that Gulf of Tonkin resolution as the rationale for that war in Vietnam and never went to Congress again. And then the response, of course, was the War Powers Act. It basically, I think the easiest way to understand it, John, is the Congress acknowledges the president has the authority under Article 2 of the Constitution as commander-in-chief to defend the United States, to defend its forces if attacked, and defend U.S. interests if those are attacked. That's defense. Once you go on the offense or a sustained campaign, then it requires congressional action. And that seems to be what the Congress is worrying this is moving towards. A few airstrikes and the Houthis stop doing what they're doing is one thing, but there's more and more reports the Pentagon is now, as you suggest, John, from how these attacks are going on, is preparing for a sustained air campaign against the Houthis. And as a consequence, these senators, Democrats and Republicans, are demanding that Congress have some particular say in that particular operation. You know, it's instructive, John, to look back on the fact that in 2019 even, the Congress passed a resolution telling then-President Donald Trump that he had to end support for the United States to the Saudi Arabian long-term campaign against the Houthis, which had gone on for several years. Now, Trump vetoed that because U.S. forces were not directly involved. We weren't in combat. But a lot of the munitions, aircraft, spare parts, refueling, intel, et cetera, was in fact being provided by the United States. Congress at that time, 2019, as today in 2024, see that as part of their prerogatives.
These strikes against the Houthis, that connects directly to Tehran. Tehran is the factory floor for the solid fuel missiles, ballistic and cruise that the Houthis are said to be firing. But those missiles are showing up everywhere in the Middle East, especially in Syria, in Iraq, and in Pakistan in these last days, fired from Iran. So the question is, do you not go at the source of those missiles? That would be the factory floor in Iran. That would be one way of approaching this. I understand it's a political matter, but it does suggest these missile strikes will continue indefinitely because the factory is untouched.
No, that's very true, John, and a great worry. And clearly, Iran is enjoying, I think, what they call managed chaos in the region, indirectly placing pressure on Israel, obviously, through their support for Hamas and Hezbollah, indirectly placing pressure on the United States through the Houthis, through attacks by Iraqi Shiite militia groups against U.S. forces that are positioned in Iraq as well as in Syria. But I still think, John, largely that the Iranian leadership prefers to fight through proxies. I think the Iranian leadership really wants to fight this, I would say, to the last Yemeni, the last Palestinian, the last Lebanese, and the last Iraqi. But it's not interested in a direct confrontation in the United States for a number of reasons, largely domestic. One is that Iran is really in the middle of a succession of leadership. It's widely known that the Ayatollah Khomeini, the spiritual leader of a theocratic state, is aging, is ailing, and will leave the scene shortly. It's interesting, John, he is the longest-serving leader in the Middle East and is only the second leader of the Islamic Republic, of course, founded in 1979 by the Ayatollah Khomeini. So that's a real issue right now, that succession crisis. Number two, a lot of trouble socially. The war against women in particular over how to wear hijabs touched off massive violence. Thirdly, you had this terrorist attack at the commemoration of the death of General Soleimani. And part of these strikes, I think, were for domestic consumption because at least described as shooting at terrorist groups, Baluch in Pakistan, terrorist groups in Idlib in Syria, so-called terrorist groups or Israeli agents in Iraq, as a response to that domestic concern. But it still seems to me that the Iranians are would like to avoid a direct confrontation. That being said, you and I both know, John, in crises, often events take over strategy. And this is a very dangerous game the Iranians are playing. It only takes one strike in Iraq that kills a bunch of American soldiers, or a Houthi strike that hits an American naval vessel, and this could escalate dramatically almost overnight, something the Biden administration has been very, very scrupulously trying to avoid.
Avoiding, but the factory floor remains, right, Jeff? As long as that factory floor is producing those solid fuel missiles, there's threats to the whole Middle East. They've got range, right? They've got range to Jerusalem. We have 30 seconds.
Yeah, that's exactly right. In fact, John, this missile is called the Castle Buster. It has a range of about 1,500 kilometers. And it was interesting, they used it in that strike against Syria, Idlib, probably the greatest range, from the eastern portion of Iran. And in many ways, I think it was to demonstrate the range of that, to make sure that they put the United States and the Israelis on notice. We have a capability that can reach out and touch you.